Welcome to The Unlabeling Effect, where three distinctive women daringly dive into some taboos with the intention to normalize the uncomfortable yet vital conversations. We are ready to embark on a journey of self-discovery with comrades like you.
Let's commence on this week's episode, 5 Steps to Overcome Your Fear of Confrontation. Confrontation is usually a conversation with heightened emotions. Sounds scary, huh? Sometimes it is a result of unresolved conflict. Sometimes it is a cause of future conflict. And sometimes, if managed properly, it can be the beginning of greater trust and understanding. Today, we will continue our conversation from previous episodes, such as communication style, how to maintain our support system, and facing vulnerability. We will explore on how we can learn to control our fear of confrontation. I'm your host, Vivian. With me today are Mel and Rita. Hello, ladies.
Hi.
I think this is not the first time that we talked about fear of confrontation on Unlabeling Effect, especially our first episodes when we first talked about boundaries. What's your experience on confronting others?
To be honest, this is still something that I'm constantly working on. Before I actually started working, I didn't quite like confrontation. Like, you know, in school, like when it comes to teamwork, there would always be someone who just would not want to do any work, right? Facing those scenarios would be the maximum confrontation opportunities that I had to face as a kid. But as I actually started to enter a workplace, there are a lot more times that you felt like confrontations, like they were just needed because you felt violated or you felt like something wasn't right.
What was the fear about? Do you remember, like when you were younger?
The prioritizations of people's feelings. I guess it's like I didn't want to be the person to hurt someone. But I think I was probably caring too much of what the other person might feel. And then that kind of generated or that kind of built the sense of fear.
I think that's interesting because Melody's definition or types of confrontation is pretty different from mine. Instead of like pointing out how others might have violated my boundaries or made me feel negatively, my confrontation is usually asking for clarity in a unclear situation. For confronting about my negative feelings towards someone's because of someone's behavior, I'm not good at it because I would self-doubt my feelings first. I would be thinking whether my feelings are valid or was I being too sensitive or touchy. I kind of avoid it first and just to think on my own, like whether...
loading time for Rita.
Exactly. Like whether it was my problem or was it on me? For example, me and Vivian, we have really solid friendship. But then when it comes to work, our communication style kind of clash a little bit because Vivian is like really after effectiveness. Like you have to bam, 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 short, precise and go. But then for me, I'm still very much on the emotional side. So I would word it as a question. Even I wanted her to improve on something else. Sometimes maybe I put my standard towards her as well. So when I receive a lot of that kind of messages, I would feel a bit upset sometimes and I feel stressed out as well. I did talk to Vivian about it and totally she explained it's just a different of communication styles. So right now, even oftentimes, I still feel a bit of taken aback because of the tone. But then I would already know that it was just her style. We established this mechanism. And the confrontation earlier actually allows me to understand the situation more afterwards, I guess.
Earlier, you said you were afraid that you might come out as sensitive. Or what was the word again?
Yeah, I'm touchy.
Yeah. What made you have this kind of perception of, you know, like confronting equals to being touchy?
basically, it's not the act of confrontation equals to touchy. It's that I don't know whether my feeling towards that incident was me being too sensitive and resulted in me coming forward to confront that person. Because that person might be, oh, you are taking it completely wrong. You're projecting your insecurities on me. Not at all. It's because you're looking at the incident with your own lens. Because I know that I have a lot of insecurities that I haven't dealt with. So that kind of delay the time of confrontation, because I have to make sure that maybe it's just not me.
I start to wonder, like, these kind of internal processing, it can be your insecurities for sure. But what I'm hearing is that your doubts and your emotions weren't validated from your past experience. And that's why whenever you experience those emotions that you think you want to confront, but then you don't, it's because you're doubting your emotions. Can I understand it that way?
I think so, yeah. So how do you really tell whether is that person's behavior is problematic or it's just you haven't done your groundwork well?
You mentioned that sometimes, like, you both have different perspectives. That doesn't mean the other person is wrong. And I also believe in that, but not that many people can quite take that. I personally appreciate that, because if they have a valid point that would add a further perspective on me, then actually I feel like I'm gaining in that situation.
What if it was like attitude? What if you didn't like the vibe or how someone presented the ideas? These kind of things are very subjective.
Can you provide an example?
Just like our communication style at work. For example, you are like precise, effective, right, short. But then that's not my style. I felt like a bit condescending maybe at times. It wasn't really your work or your job to cater to my style. I was very aware that it could be my insecurities, you know?
How I differentiate whether that confrontation is quote-unquote worthy one, it would be whether we are establishing something for future good. So in this example, if you're telling me, okay, I don't feel quite appreciated if you talk to me like that, and I will be mindful about it, but I don't necessarily will entirely change how I communicate. But I would appreciate you voicing up maybe for a few times after we clarify our intentions and how we are wired. I think that's a good thing. But when it comes to, you know, when someone more of complaining or even whining instead of proposing like a solution to the situation, then I'll find it very, like, the confrontation would have no purpose.
Yeah, I agree with it, because I think ultimately is whether the confrontation would bring something positive. I think that is the most important thing. One thing that I want to raise is, like, when people really want to understand their fear, how can they do that? For me, it might be really writing down the emotions that I felt at that moment.
Sometimes it's really hard to know that which kind of fear you're facing. It's like jumping a few steps to get to that conclusion. For me, I just be aware of what kind of questions I'm asking myself when I was evaluating whether to confront or not. Those kind of questions would lead you to the source of that fear. For example, you're anxious of losing a certain type of relationship or a certain type of harmony in that relationship. And those kind of questions, you can kind of evaluate and draw you back to that starting point.
That's interesting, because losing the relationship was never one of my fears. I think my major one is how the other person reacts, because there are times where I was confronting someone and I just get slapped on the face, like, immediately. Like, you, and then your emotion just got invalidated. Like, it's just redirected to North Pole or something. And to me, it's very hard to accept that. Maybe fear of disappointment, that, oh, you thought that this person can work this out with you. When they present otherwise, you have to understand that, oh, like, they are not who you think they are. And you have to accept that. And then maybe, like, the end result is that you have to walk away from that relationship. And then these kind of fear create a storyline before it happened. So now I'm very aware that this is your story you're telling yourself, but it's not true anymore. I think that's how I accept my fear and overcome it. It's differentiating what is true, what is based on facts, and what is based on my fear. How did you guys overcome that fear of confrontation?
I do have categorization in people when I do confrontation. It's like people who are closer to me in my core support system, I tend to be more careful and cautious and doing things that quote unquote risk in disturbing the harmony between us. That's why I would take a second thought before doing confrontation with people really close to me. But then with like colleagues, I would just keep things professional, voice out my opinion with like the technique that we've said, acknowledge them first, give some compliment before voicing out my thoughts.
So you're still afraid to do it, but you'll still do it like with your close ones.
Yeah, after I've done the work to make sure that I know that it could be my insecurity speaking, but then I think they should already know my personality as well. It could be that I'm having an anxious attachment, but then certain behavior made me feel a certain way. Then that person would actually know what to avoid in the future.
It's almost like delayed gratification. That's how I see confrontation. It's like you need to overcome the hard part first, and then the relationship will be stronger. I think a lot of people procrastinate that part.
Yeah.
But you know, funny enough, my behavior towards confrontation is actually complete opposite with Rita, because the people that I'm closer with, the more likely that I would provide positive or constructive confrontations. If it comes to work-related relationships, I will also confront. I actually would take a very careful approach. At least I try to with my ability, because I don't feel like they sometimes fully understand my intention behind it. With family, for example, they know that I always think, you know, with their best interests at heart. Whereas with colleagues, they might sometimes think that, oh, you're just doing it because it's a personal attack. You never know how people think because I'm not close with them. This reminds me of Joanne, our guest on our previous episode. She has been told, the reason why you get frustrated is because you care. And I think it's actually so true. The reason why we have that urge to confront is because we genuinely care about that matter, right? Because otherwise, why would we be bothered to even confront?
Mm-hmm. Confrontation is very emotion related, if you think about it. But then it's just that when we talk about it professionally, we avoided those emotion side, and they're still there. Remember, like there's this work mishap that I experienced with one of my colleagues. It appears that she went over me and then directly talked to the upper management when I think that it's an issue that we can solve very efficiently between us. And I felt very disrespected. That was a really glorious moment for my mental health journey, because I was able to touch on like different elements. I scheduled a coffee with her. First of all, I eased into it, like the conversation with a little bit of small talk, like how I like this company, how she's a new joiner. Is it okay with her? Because, you know, like there might be times where the person's other personal problems might affect how they behave in the workplace. And then when I talked about this incident, I was very not emotion driven, but the conversation was led by how I felt. Like what happened, it might be very normal for her in a workplace because she's more of a structural person. Like she likes to follow hierarchy and stuff. But for me, I'm more like open. I like to talk about things. I like to solve problems as a team. That experience taught me that showing how the other person make you feel is very, very important, because at the end of the day, feelings is a universal thing. Like we all feel the same feelings. And I think sometimes we don't remember that. How you deliver it, like as a giver, I think we don't have to like, oh, you made me feel disrespected. It doesn't have to be like that. It can totally be like, you make me feel very disrespected when you act like that, you know? I'm very interested in understanding your take on this, because how Mel and Rita differentiating like the easy and the hard part, that differentiation is about emotions. That's what I've been getting from your points.
I love how you express this, how you need to pick an emotion that you felt and then give examples to it, I think it's actually very helpful for the receiver. And to be very honest, in my workplace, I've realized that it is a must-have skills, like with my team, because we're trying to restructure the team. When it comes to big changes or restructuring, confrontation is a practice that just has to be used quite often. So one thing that I've kind of tried to keep in mind, which is making sure I take a deep breath, hold off like for 1 second, structure in my head, and making sure I state the reason being first. So making sure the other side knows why I'm trying to raise this. And then I'll try to give them an example. And then after that, I would quite like to give them an action point or suggestion. But sometimes when you're so heated with confrontations, it's so hard to have your mind so structured. So I decided to write it out yesterday and try to, you know, remember that in my mind. So then next time when I come across any confrontations that's needed, hopefully I would be able to try to stick with this format and see whether it would be more helpful or whether the outcome would be more positive. I struggled internally, but I tried because I really cared and I wanted the business to do well. So that's like the ultimate goal for me to keep doing it. So I think the technique is making sure you set your expectations at the right place, that knowing that it's not easy. You can't just confront someone and then hoping that they would accept it right away. Like, that's not how it is most of the time.
Yeah. And I also feel like turn some statement to question is a very useful skill, because that kind of draw him or her into the conversation. And as you also respect their agreement or their stance as well. For example, you state something like, do you agree? A short sentence to reassure that they have a voice.
I think from the receiver side, it's helpful to just have like one main issue at a time, instead of, you know, there's 8 things that I want to address like in this conversation. It's just too much, because confrontation, there are so many ad hoc stuff like emotions. Maybe the other person wants to confront something else, and there might be, you know, a snowball there, especially with someone that you're not familiar with. I think it's helpful to start with one minor issue, and just to see if that person is even open to confrontation. At the end of the day, it's really about the art of phrasing, right? Most of the time, it doesn't matter like what message you want to deliver or your intentions. It's about how you deliver it. And it's about how you make the other person see what you see. There might be a lot of times where you need to 180, like completely switch how you communicate. Usually it depends on the receiver. And I believe in the future, we will have more episodes dive deeper on articulating our messages.
Next time, when you're aware that you're experiencing fear of confrontation, you can try the 5 steps that we concluded from this episode.
So first is like, as Rita said, like identify the problems, like identify your doubts, like why you're afraid of confronting this person. And then understanding your fear, that's the first step. And then the second, it's really helpful if you can list out what you might gain by speaking up. It's not realistic to be able to solve a problem with someone every single time, but even like you feeling better about yourself, you gaining confidence towards communication or standing up for yourself, like what Mel likes to say. The third steps is to reconsider your assumptions about confrontation.
You'd be surprised what kind of narrative that we make up in our head before anything really happened, just as a protective mechanism of our mind and body to avoid shame or guilt. It's very useful to ask yourself whether this narrative is based on evidence or just past trauma. The fourth step is to start small and see what happens. Address one issue at a time, and you'll increase your confidence in being assertive in other situations. And it's also a good approach to understand more the other person's communication style, and you can tweak it as the conversation goes by. Last but not least is to stick to I statements, especially ones that are driven by your emotions. So instead of saying, "You're so arrogant, you don't bother showing up on time," try,
I am concerned about the way you address the group, or I feel disrespected when you arrive late. While you're preparing for a constructive confrontation, there are a couple questions that I also find very helpful in processing all these emotions and thoughts, and I hope they do the same to you, such as, what do we hope to achieve here? What's our common goal? Am I emotionally prepared for this meeting? What feelings are being triggered by this situation? Does my history explain those triggers? How is my attitude about the impending conversation influencing my approach to it? Can I focus on the good that can come out of it rather than worrying about the negative? What do I know about this person? What could he or she want? What are his or her fears? Could I make this person a partner rather than an adversary? What have I done so far to contribute to the problem at hand? And what do I believe the other person has contributed to the problem? Feel free to repeat it over and over again until these kind of questions sink in. Do you like these kind of key takeaway conclusions? Please do let us know on Instagram at Unlabeling Effect, as we're striving to improve every single day. That's all for today's episode, 5 Steps to Overcome Your Fear of Confrontation. Join us again next time when we talk about jealousy.
Thank you for tuning in, and let's continue the conversation on Instagram at Unlabeling Effect. Please subscribe to our podcast on Spotify and iTunes and give us a rating. Until then, dare to feel, dare to be real.